ready.
How you a revolutionary, but you totally willing to leave weapons on the table that your enemy is fighting to keep you from using anyway?
For real talk.
Being a contrarian for contrary's sake is whack, but the assault on reality has been so thorough, even niggas we used to routinely ignore have somehow found an audience.
All the time.
I'm not above it all, and I won't pretend to be. America provides you all the freedom in the world to be a dummy. You just don't get to be loud and dumb around me.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 345 of the report, and we just getting right into this shit, yo. We getting right into it. We ain't got no intro music. We ain't got no intro videos. We ain't got none of that, man. We just gonna get right into the shit. But before we do that, of course, I gotta remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. So you can go ahead and do that by first hitting us up at our website at www.thespanreport.com. You can go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like, and we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. For those of you who go about the business of doing that, you can also check out our store, get yourself some merch, get yourself a fly t-shirt, get yourself a coffee mug, get yourself like a sweater or a hoodie or something, because it's about to start getting cold outside, y'all. So go ahead and cop that merch, take a picture when you got that merch on, man, and let us know that you went out and supported us, and that way we really appreciate everybody who does that. Hit us up at our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages, and of course those messages will get played here live on the show and responded to in kind. And if you're watching us here live on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and Twitch, you can check it out. You know, you can chop it up with us here live as we do the show. That's area code 313-288-0485. So go ahead and hit us up on that hotline. Also, hit us up on our email. The email address is feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Go ahead, leave us those emails, and of course, those emails to get read here and reply to here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who interacts with us in that way, man. Real talk. And it helps to kind of, like, you know what? Here's the thing, man. Real talk. I am a podcast listener. I'm an avid podcast listener, but I am also guilty of this too, right? So a lot of the shows that I really like listening to, very much so, more often than not, I just find myself just listening to them, right? Often you don't really find yourself engaging with something that you already agree with. The problem with that is the shows that you really do fuck with don't really know that you fuck with them if you ain't saying nothing. I mean, we got other metrics and stuff, but it is nice for you to just go ahead and say, hey, man, I really fuck with the show, man. So go ahead and hit us up with a 5-star review, because we like those too. Hit those 5-star reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. But no, real talk. You know, reach out to your podcasters, reach out to your content creators, your YouTubers, your TikTokers or whatever. Let them know that you're enjoying the content, because, yo, it really, the people that don't fuck with you will let you know, right? That's the only time you really get a lot of interaction with folks in the content, is that those it comes from the people who don't really rock with what you got going on. So it really helps, and it is motivational for your content creators when they can hear from the audience, and the audience is letting them know, like, yo, man, I really rock with what you got going on. So for those of you who would do that, we really appreciate that over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. But yo, man, we got that business out of the way real quick. I don't really have a whole lot of random thoughts and shit. At least I didn't really necessarily structure this show today, I kind of did, but I kind of didn't, man, because low-key I was thinking about not even having segments and shit today. I was real busy and shit. I went to the Lions game today, and that was tragic. The Lions, you know, got their ass whooped in the home opener, man. We didn't even stay like the entire fourth quarter, man. I think when we left, it was like 38 to fucking 17 or some shit like that. It was something real ridiculous, man. Yeah, they got their asses handed to them, bro. It was crazy. The thing that I think was like the most galling to me, though, was like how many Detroit fans were actually 49ers fans, because you really couldn't tell who was the home team in that bitch, man. Ford Field had a lot of fucking 49ers fans in there. So much so that when 49ers was like score a touchdown or get an interception, like a pick six or some shit, because that shit did happen today. If they like, you really couldn't tell who was the fucking home team, bro. This is how like how many San Francisco 49ers fans was in there. And I'm a little disgusted with you Detroit motherfuckers, man. Real talk. I'm a little disgusted with you niggas, man. Because here's the thing, man. Like, I give Detroit sports fans a lot of shit, and it's apropos. You know what I'm saying? These niggas deserve it. And the reason why I give these motherfuckers all the shit in the world is because y'all fans are everybody else except y'all teams, man, until y'all teams become decent, and then that's when y'all go act like y'all been lifelong fans. I can't stand that shit. That is the most fucking disloyal, bitch-made, fool-ass, punk-ass shit. Nah, seriously, that shit is terrible, man. That's terrible. The Lions, like, think about this. I could see if it was Pittsburgh, right? Because Pittsburgh ain't that far away. Cleveland, if Cleveland came here, I could see, like, a whole bunch of Cleveland fans being here like that. Maybe even Chicago, because, you know, Chicago's a four-hour drive, man. Green Bay, Minnesota. Like, those teams, like, in the area coming to Detroit, I could see that. But when your whole fucking stadium is, like, halfway 49ers and halfway Lions, man, there's a problem there, bro. There's a problem there, man. And, yeah, man, a lot of Detroit Lions fans, not even just Detroit Lions fans, Detroit sports fans, period, are some front-running motherfuckers, man. That's just what it is. And I say that as a lifelong Lions fan, although they disappoint me all the fucking time, and I represent Chicago hard as hell, but y'all have never heard me get on this mic and talk about Go Bears or Bear Down, any of that shit. I've been a Lions fan through and through, and it was appalling today. For me to listen to all these goddamn San Francisco 49ers fans like cheering and glee and shit from the Lions getting their asses handed to them at home. Oh, man, that was terrible. That was terrible. But shout out to Mrs. Span though, for hooking up those tickets, though. That was nice, baby. I love you. Yeah, man. So that was one of the things that was going on. I was kind of thinking about because, that you know, that shit happened today and shit. Another thing that I was just kind of thinking about a little bit was 9/11, man. We've come up on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 being a thing. And it just, you know, for me, it's more so like a thing of like just recognizing how old a nigga has gotten, because I was grown when the shit happened. And there's a lot of people, there's like a lot of kids and shit now who've grown up not knowing that, you know, a world that you got a lot of kids who've grown up post 9/11 who know nothing about what the world was like before 9/11, how we used to be able to get on airlines and shit and not have to take our shoes off, how there was never a such thing as the Department of Homeland Security, how there was never a TSA, and like you never had to pay for like you didn't have to pay to check your bags and shit at the airport. Like that, all of these things, all of these are things that we've had to come, you know, we've had to endure and stuff. With you know, with what happened with 9/11, and you know, you got the memorials, and you've got the you know, you've got the you know, people like, you know, just kind of rehashing where they were, what they were doing, and telling those stories. And I think, like, yeah, at a certain point, man, like, it's gonna become like one of those things, like the Pearl Harbor thing, where like there's a commemoration of it, but at a certain point, you know, how many times can you tell those stories? You know, like, I just kind of wish we would just, like, kind of archive the stories and do it that way. But, yeah, man, 9/11 has been 20 fucking years, bro. 20 years since that shit happened. It's crazy how fast time flies, though, for real. Because I remember that shit like it was yesterday, but I ain't, like, you know, 21 no more. Like, that's crazy. But, yo, that's been, like, something that people have been kind of talking about. The other thing, too, is, like, yo, they were talking about, like how the differences in, like, you know, presidents and shit and how they commemorated. And I know they were talking about Barack Obama and, excuse me, Bill Clinton and George Bush being at a commemorative service for 9/11. And then you had George Bush goofy ass out there like announcing a fucking pay-per-view fight with a washed up fighter and an MMA fighter. Yeah, man, that was, you know, sort of the contrast. But, you know, come on, man. Did y'all expect anything less? I mean, did y'all really expect Donald Trump not to be tacky? I mean, come on, man. Come on. Y'all, the man has shown you exactly who the fuck he is over the course of the last, I don't know, at least the last 6 years. He's been ubiquitous within the culture and shit like that, within American culture or whatnot. So, you know, that's a thing. But, yo, man, like I said, I didn't really have a whole lot of random thoughts, man. Let's just go ahead and get into the motherfucking news. All right, man. man. Now, our first story here in the news has to deal with, you know, we talking coronavirus shit, because the coronavirus is every goddamn where, man. It's encompassed our goddamn lives, man, for real. And the first story we got comes out of the Wall Street Journal, which isn't exactly the bastion of liberal, what you would call, like, what was that, a liberal propaganda, so to speak. But the Wall Street Journal was saying that COVID-19 cases have risen in states where school opened the earliest. No, you don't fucking say. So we get the story here, like I said, out of the, oh shit, they are telling me I need to subscribe. Ain't that a bitch? I had this in my pocket and they are telling me I can't read the story no more. Ain't that some shit? Well, that's crazy. And it's awkward because I really wanted to read that story for you guys. I really did. That's awkward. But apparently, the schools that open the earliest are having rises in COVID-19 cases as far as children are concerned. You know, the same places where, you know, they don't want to have mask mandates. And we also know that children can't be vaccinated if they're 12 or under. So a lot of these kids can't get vaccinated and their parents are fighting for them not to use masks while they're in the schools. And I know we talked about this before, where I really felt like, you know, they should probably still be doing some form of remote learning, especially for the kids who can't be vaccinated, that those kids should probably still be doing some level of remote learning. But as the nation has moved towards trying to move to, as the nation has kind of moved towards trying to be more normal, try to move back to some level of normalcy, I think we may have been moving a little bit fast. Because we don't have this thing under control just yet. And last year, when this thing was a thing, like when it was new, the first thing we did was we put all these kids out of these schools and we quarantined them at home to protect them from this unknown thing. And the weird thing about what's going on now is that we have a more virulent, more deadly, more contagious version of this particular virus out here, and we're just throwing our kids out there. It kind of feels like with these kids and how people are approaching it, it's just like,
fuck them kids.
Fuck the kids?
Yeah. Mm.
Feels like fuck them kids, man. Feel like don't nobody give a goddamn about these kids. I think people want to get back to work. They need to have their kids someplace and they can't be at home. And so even if their kids go to school, even if their kids don't wear a mask, they are cool with their kids being quarantined in the room with some other unvaccinated kids and saying, well, fuck it, they're going to catch it. And that's another thing too, right? Because I remember that being a thing back in the day was, you know, like if you got chicken pox or some shit, like people used to send their kids to the other kid house that had the chicken pox so the kid can catch it. And then like they get the chicken pox out of the way because they were like, well, he get it now, he ain't going to catch it later. And then we find out later that you can get shingles and shit like when you're old and stuff, like it can come back in a different form. But like, yo, man, that's the thing, man. Apparently the kids are catching more cases of COVID because we're putting them in positions to catch cases of COVID, especially considering that, you know, a lot of these places don't have mask mandates and they're not forcing the kids to wear masks. So, yeah, man, that's in the news. Another story that we have here in the news. Let me pull that down. Let me stop doing that there. Let me pull that down. But another story that we have here in the news is that so Joe Biden made an announcement Thursday where he's asking OSHA to basically come out with the vaccine mandate for corporations who have over 100 employees. So we get this article here. This comes out of the Washington Post. It says that millions of workers, businesses to face Biden's new coronavirus vaccine and testing rules. It says the Biden administration's attempt to compel private companies to require vaccinations or rigorous testing drew stern rebukes from conservatives Friday, split the business community, and raised new questions about the federal government's ability to carry out such a massive mandate. Republican governors from Texas to Missouri to Georgia have threatened to fight back against the move to force companies with more than 100 employees to require coronavirus vaccinations or regular testing. Texas Governor Greg Abbott called the mandates an assault on private businesses and the state and said the state is already working to halt this power grab. Now, that's really rich. That is really rich coming from someone like Texas Governor Greg Abbott. And the reason why I say it's really rich is that he's so apoplectic about a power grab over corporate interests, but has no compunction at all about the power grab over a woman's body and her choice to choose. Right. We was just talking about the abortion, the new abortion law that just went into effect in Texas just last week. And, you know, like the novel way that they tried to enact this by basically putting it off on private citizens and allowing private citizens to sue either doctors or anyone that they suspect of, you know, helping a woman get an abortion. And yet here we have another health issue that affects all of us greatly. Not so much like this health issue that may affect this woman and her family, but this health issue that affects all of us greatly, and suddenly it becomes a power grab when it comes from the federal government. So the employer mandates, which the White House estimates could reach as many as 80 million people, or 2/3 of U.S. workers, would be the most extensive government intervention into private companies and employer practices since the pandemic began. The plan, announced Thursday, comes as the highly contagious Delta variant of the coronavirus has led to a surge of more than 150,000 new cases a day, mostly among the unvaccinated, while also weighing on the economy. Companies that ignore the policy could face penalties of up to $14,000 for each violation, according to a senior administration official. Also, companies would be required to give workers paid time off to get vaccinated. While some companies such as McDonald's, Delta Airlines, and Tyson Foods have already moved to mandate vaccinations or regular testing in the U.S. workforces and offices, the new federal rules threaten to escalate tensions in office workplaces where some workers have already been arguing about mask and testing rules. So, you know, it's at a point now where, you know, like I said, I've said this plenty of times already, that folks are getting a little, their patience is wearing thin with the unvaccinated. It just is like the patience is wearing thin as we try to move back into some level of normalcy, as we try to get back to what we kind of were before the coronavirus became a thing. You know, people who have done the things that they have been told to do as far as what they consider to be the right things, whether that be getting vaccinated, whether that be social distancing, whether that be washing your hands, even though it's in the air, whether that be wearing your mask and all these things. People have been told these things and they're like, yo, man, OK, so I'm doing all these things. And yet I still got these other people who have been doing none of these things, who want to kind of like, you know, act as though everything is back to normal, like they OK and they not OK. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a matter of fact, you know, I was, I'm sorry, but my camera here is getting like a little blurry and shit. The motherfucker just won't focus to save his life. But I was on Facebook, earlier in the week, and a friend of mine, shout out to my man, Sean, man, he was having a little live thing that he had on Facebook or whatever. And they were talking about, you know, the COVID thing. And one of the things I think is very important, in how we talk about the unvaccinated and the vaccinated in regards to, you know, COVID transmission. I know a lot of folks, when we talk about this shit, we talk about it in a way in which, like, you know, you got a lot of unvaccinated people who will say, well, you know, vaccinated people are still catching COVID. Vaccinated people are catching COVID and they're going to the hospital. Vaccinated people are catching COVID, they're going to the hospital and they're passing it on to other people, right? And so when, under those circumstances, what sense does it make for me to go ahead and get vaccinated if I still stand a chance of getting COVID and everything else? It doesn't protect you. It don't stop you from getting COVID, right? And on its face, that sounds logical. On its face, it sounds like, you know, I can understand said reasoning when you put it that way, right? But one of the things I think is very important is that we understand the nuance and the context around what they mean when they say vaccinated folks are catching breakthrough cases and vaccinated folks are going to hospitals and vaccinated folks are passing on the coronavirus, right? One of the things about, you know, like, first of all, we have to understand, like, the numbers, right? The vast majority, 99%, this is documented, over 99% of the people who are in those hospitals and those ICUs or who are intubated, who are prone, who are paralyzed, who can't breathe on their own, 99% of those folks are unvaccinated people. They're not vaccinated folks. They're unvaccinated people. 99% of those folks, right? The other thing is the vaccination reduces your risk. So even in the event that you do catch COVID-19, you're much more likely to have a less stringent reaction to COVID-19 if you do get it. That's if you get it, right? Because the next story that I have behind this will show you how rare that happens. But also, you know, the fact that, like, vaccinated folks aren't catching it as often as the unvaccinated, aren't going to the hospitals as frequently as the unvaccinated. It's as if you guys don't necessarily see the disconnect there, right? And so when we talk about the vaccinated going to the hospital and the unvaccinated going to the hospital, okay, so to what degree are the vaccinated going in comparison to the unvaccinated? And we can't keep talking about this as if these levels are the same, because they're not. So, you know, I want us to like kind of have some perspective on that. Just I want to talk to that level of perspective, because a lot of times we talk about it. We talk around shit. We talk about, you know, we have our feelings about stuff. And honestly, the facts don't give a fuck about how you feel about them. They just don't. Facts are the facts. And if you're watching the number, and here's the other part. Here's the other thing I think is kind of crazy, too. You know, and my man Rod said this on, he's like, you know, you got people who just listen to that one dentist that tells you not to brush your teeth. You know what I'm saying? 9 out of 10 dentists tells you to brush your teeth. And then you got that one dentist who's like, you know, I don't know if you should really have to brush your teeth. And you just like, you know what, maybe we should hear him out. You know? And so a lot of times what you'll find is folks who are, you know, vaccine hesitant. We're not going to call them anti-vax, but vaccine hesitant. You got those folks who will gravitate towards that information that makes them feel good. And so, you know, they'll find a story about a healthcare worker who says that, you know, the vaccine ain't all that, you know, it's vaccinated people up in here. Or you'll find people who know that cousin or that aunt or the friend of a friend who, despite being vaccinated, is in the hospital and they're on a ventilator and all these other things, and never really paying attention to all the other news that contradicts everything that they're fucking saying. So, yeah, man, you know, the fact that the Biden administration is kind of making this or trying to make this somewhat of a mandate, look at it like this, man. Like, at a certain point, they've been asking y'all. They've been trying to goad y'all. They've been trying to give people money. They've been giving people vacations. They've been giving people all sorts of different kind of like things to kind of incentivize you going ahead and getting the vaccine. And then y'all look at that as if that's suspect, right? I've seen people talk about, man, it can't be that good. They gotta pay you to get this shit. Like, nah, they don't have to. They trying to, because they understand that some of you are a bit hesitant, they're trying to entice you with something that you may find valuable, right? And also help save your own damn life, right? So they tried to goad you along this way. At a certain point, it's like, all right, man, I've tried the carrot. Here comes the stick. And now the stick is coming out. And now you guys are like, well, they violate my rights. Like, to violate your rights to have you make a motherfucking choice as to whether or not you want that job or not? Because that's essentially what this is. It's a choice for you. That's all it is. They're making you make a choice. Now, whether or not you like the choices in front of you, that's something entirely different. But you still got a choice to make. You can either make the choice to get the vaccine and keep your job, or you can make the choice to not get vaccinated and find someplace else to work that's going to keep your ass unvaccinated. So long as they keep you in the back of the house and not in people's faces, because that's nasty. You know? So, yeah, man, that's in the news. Another story that we got here in the news has to deal with the vaccine and the probability of you catching COVID if you are vaccinated, because apparently COVID, your chances of catching COVID are 1 in 5,000 or less if you're fully vaccinated.
And that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man. So there's a video attached to this. So let me go ahead and pull this up. Hold on a second. I got to pause this for it.
It's like,
wait, damn it. It's a goddamn commercial and I don't want to play the commercial. Okay. Let me pull this up so you guys can watch right along with me. Hold on just a second while I do this here. All right. All right. Here we go. Let's see if this, damn it, still on commercial.
Like whooping cough. It's.
Damn it. Stop that. Okay. We'll just let it play then.
It's not just for kids. Whooping cough is highly contagious for people of any age, and it can cause violent, uncontrollable coughing fits. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about whooping cough vaccination, because it's not just for kids.
They won't let me turn the volume off on that commercial. But all right, let's see what they talk about.
Turning to major developments on COVID tonight, including some good news in a moment. We begin with this risk facing America, which now averages over 150,000 COVID cases a day. Does that sound worse than usual? Well, that's because it is. In fact, we are 4 times the COVID caseload now as compared to this time last year before a vaccine even came out. And more kids are testing positive than ever before in America. And about 1,500 adults are dying of COVID every day. Now, faced with a crisis, there are major developments on COVID.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rewind that, but just think about that for a second. He said almost 1,500 people are dying of COVID every day. We just went through this whole thing about celebrating or remembering 9/11 and everything like that, right? 1,500 people died a day. I think we had like a little bit less than like 3,000 people died on 9/11. Every week we lose twice the number of people that we did on 9/11. And people keep telling us, never forget, never forget, never forget. And we get all patriotic and shit. And we wanted to do everything we could to get back at the motherfuckers who did this to our people and everything. And yet we can't, for whatever reason, come together on this COVID shit. Right? And COVID has taken over 600,000 Americans since it came across these shores. COVID is like taking 1,500 motherfuckers every day. 1,500 people every day in America. And yet we have somehow figured that, like, yo, man, like, man, fuck that shot, nigga. I ain't taking that motherfucking shot, nigga. They keep that motherfucking shot, nigga. Fuck that job too, nigga. Like, I don't, like, the disconnect is real wild here. And then what's even wilder is that, like, you've got people who would call themselves very patriotic, who would call themselves patriots and all this other shit. Here's a national fucking emergency, and they don't want to do anything to help mitigate it. They don't want to wear masks. They don't want to social distance. They don't want to get a shot, but they want to do everything that they were doing beforehand as if everything is all right, and it's not. It's like a real fucking, like, we're like in the Twilight Zone, man, for real.
COVID tonight. Including some good news.
Called in FEMA strike teams, the National Guard. We have more people in the hospital because of COVID than ever before.
The vaccines have helped people ward off severe illness. It's about your health and whether you want that protection or not. It really doesn't impact me or anyone else.
Okay, and that was another thing too. So you got a lot of people who aren't vaccinated who feel like it's just simply a personal choice, right? I've seen this quite a bit. Let me pull this down now. But I've seen this argument quite a bit too, where you got a lot of folks who will say, well, listen, you vaccinated. Why do you give a shit if I'm vaccinated? You got your vaccine. You're supposed to be protected. Why do you give a shit about whether or not I'm vaccinated? And the problem is that you're choosing not to be vaccinated or not to get vaccinated is not happening in a vacuum. You aren't just affecting you, you're affecting everyone around you. So if you don't get vaccinated and you don't wear your mask and you don't practice social distancing and you catch COVID, chances are you are not only getting COVID for yourself, but anybody else who may come in close contact with you may also get infected. And the other part about that is nobody wants to be held responsible for passing COVID around. So nobody wants to even do the contact tracing and shit. Right? Nobody wants to do the contact tracing. Well, who did you get it from? Who was you around? Well, shit, I mean, I don't know, man. Shit, I don't know. Like, it's as if nobody want to snitch. Right? You caught it from somewhere. Chances are you probably know where you got it. But you don't want to tell anybody that. So, you know, the thing is with being unvaccinated, what people are really saying is like, yo, it's not just about you. It's about those around you. Especially think about the kids. We were just talking about going to, you know, the kids going back to school and shit. A lot of these kids can't get vaccinated. So why not protect these kids? Is it going to take more kids showing up at, like, you know, morgues and shit for these motherfuckers to, like, really get off their ass and figure out that, like, I've been on some bullshit. This has been dumb the entire time, man. I can't believe I let these motherfuckers really run me for, you know, throw me for the loop like that. You know, this is like, I hate to be preachy, man, you know, because I know I come across that way, but fuck, like, come on, you know, it's like, come on, man, like, it's, like, the numbers don't lie, man, like, these numbers ain't lying to y'all. You got if you're vaccinated, you got a 1 in 5,000 chance of catching COVID, as opposed to being unvaccinated. You know what I'm saying? And chances are, if you're unvaccinated and you catch COVID, you have a greater chance of ended up needing to be hospitalized, a greater chance of you needing to be intubated, a greater chance that you might not survive it. Why take that chance? I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Now, another story that we got here, and this is the last story we got here in the news, has to do with the perception around healthcare workers, right? So one of the things that I've been observing as of late has been, like, I've seen videos of folks sharing. Well, I've seen folks sharing videos of, you know, quote unquote healthcare workers who are not anti-vax but are vaccine hesitant, right? And mostly they come in the form of a TikTok, maybe they come in the form of a Facebook Live or something like that. And, you know, and we've also seen stories where a hospital, you know, health system has decided they were going to mandate vaccines, and you had a very loud minority come out and say, well, no, we don't feel like it's right for y'all to mandate this because it hasn't been FDA approved and all these other things. FDA has come out and approved the Pfizer vaccine already, so we haven't really seen many of those lawsuits, you know, come forward after that. As a matter of fact, there was one lawsuit that was supposed to go forward here in Michigan where they dropped it after the FDA had approved the Pfizer vaccine. Right. So they dropped the lawsuit that they had against their healthcare employer for the vaccine mandates and whatnot. But the reason why I kind of believe, like, well, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I'm running into an issue here. Let me do this here. I'm sorry. All right. Let me get back to my list. All right. But one of the reasons why I think a lot of people are having issues, or that they believe that healthcare workers by and large aren't getting vaccinated, is because of social media. And I'll tell y'all what I think really about that in a second, but I'm gonna read a little bit from this article. And this comes out of The Guardian. It says, Charlene was skeptical of the vaccines at first. She wondered how they were created so quickly, and she was wary of the long history of medical experimentation and disregard for Black people like her in the United States. But when Charlene, a nurse in a neonatal intensive care unit, thought about the desperate health outcomes for people of color in the pandemic, and she knew she might not receive the same level of care as others if she got sick. That's the other thing that I... Hold on. You know what? I never thought about that. They're like, here's a... Like, here we have, there's already the perception, right? There's already the perception that, like, yo, you know, you got people who talk about the Tuskegee experiments and things like that when it comes to their vaccine hesitancy and stuff like that. Now, you don't get vaccinated. You go into a hospital where you believe, and oftentimes rightfully so, that because you're Black, you're not going to get the same level of care that you would get if you were a white person. Now, one would think, like, yo, okay, so let me go ahead and get this shot so I can prevent having to go into a hospital where I might get subpar care because I'm Black, where they might not necessarily take my pain as seriously as they would someone else. All I got to do is take this shot to prevent any of that from happening. But I, like, somehow there's that disconnect, and it's not really, you know, clicking for folks. She says she did her research and determined that the mRNA vaccines, which became available to healthcare workers late last year, are safe and effective. Charlene, who asked to use only her first name to protect her job, got the vaccine in January. Here we have this virus that is killing, maiming, debilitating people, and I know that if I was in a position of being sick, I would be treated differently and probably not survive. So that was one layer of protection that I wanted to give myself, she said. A year and a half into the pandemic, healthcare workers are exhausted, burned out, and worried that the worst is far from over. Amid that stress, much attention has been focused on nurses who haven't received the vaccine, even though the majority of those essential workers have been inoculated. That has left many nurses feeling betrayed, both by their unvaccinated patients and by public perception. And here's the reason why I was talking about public perception. Like, I see a lot of those TikToks and stuff. And oftentimes the friends that I have that are vaccine hesitant, they'll share a TikTok because, you know, we talk a lot about medical professionals and valuing the opinion of medical professionals. And a lot of the friends that I have that are vaccine hesitant will tell me, like, well, what about this medical professional? Are you just going to nullify their position because you don't agree with it? You're doing the exact same thing that you're preaching against, Span. You know, that sort of thing. And again, I'll go back to that whole 9 out of 10 things. Like, yo, but if 9 out of 10 nurses is telling me I should probably get vaccinated, if 9 out of 10 doctors are telling me I should get vaccinated, what's this one person mean when the overwhelming majority of the people who know what the fuck it is that they're talking about are saying something entirely different? And so what I think is happening is this. Is that what we have is we'll have people who are in scrubs, who are wearing a face mask, who are in a place that we don't necessarily know, could be a hospital, don't know what their position is, but they look like a medical professional, and they're telling us all of the reasons why the vaccine isn't what you need, right? How the vaccine, or they'll give you like some pseudo-scientific explanation as to why you don't necessarily need the vaccine. Or if you've been infected with COVID-19 before, oh, you've got the antibodies, so you don't need the vaccine. Right? And then, you know, you got a lot of people on social media who will take that as their quote-unquote research. I've done my research, right? So one of the things I was talking about on Facebook earlier this week was social media and how social media is used and how quickly and how fast misinformation gets disseminated. And I said on Facebook earlier this week, I said social media, no matter what platform it is, whether it be TikTok, whether it be Twitter, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Instagram, whether it be Reddit, no matter what part, no matter what platform it is, social media is where context and nuance go to die, right? It's where you go, it's where that those things go to die. Because generally speaking, if someone has put up a status on Facebook and you find yourself in an argument or back and forth on Facebook or any of these platforms, Twitter or whatever else, very seldom does anybody change their mind when you're having those back and forths, right? Very seldom do you have people just like, you know what, man, I never thought about it like that, man. You know, you're right. I never really, I'm glad you said it that way because I hadn't even considered it. Very seldom does that happen on social media. More often than not, you find yourself in a back and forth with somebody and you are reading to respond, not necessarily reading to understand. And also with social media, because you're reading, context can get lost in translation as well, depending upon how someone says something. You may misread their intention because you don't hear inflections in their voices and things like that. That's why I kind of pulled back on a lot of the back and forths I used to get into with people on social media. I've kind of pulled back from that because ultimately they're not going to necessarily hear what I'm saying. And oftentimes I'm really strong in how I feel about shit. So I'm probably not going to really hear what they're saying either. So what I've done is like, yo, man, so if I really feel strongly about it, if I really want to have a talk, if I want to talk about it, if I want to elaborate on my thoughts about it, you're going to get it right here on the Span Report. Because social media doesn't really lend you to the nuance, and you don't really get a chance to break that stuff down. So I say all that to say, when we see these people on social media, when we see these TikToks and things like that with, you know, vaccine hesitant, quote unquote, medical professionals, oftentimes is information that we can't vet. And it's coming from a person that we don't know who it is. We don't know what their position is. We don't know who they work for. We don't know any of that stuff, right? But if we agree with the messaging that's already coming from them, then chances are we're more likely to share it. And I was reading a story last week, where they were talking about how on Facebook, I talked about it here on the show last week. On Facebook, they were talking about how often misinformation and disinformation is engaged with on that site, right? And how Facebook wasn't exactly letting the researchers figure out how far reaching that information goes. But they're able to kind of just gauge the level of engagement that those sorts of posts get. A lot of the misinformation and disinformation. And oftentimes, and you'll see this, and this happens everywhere. This happens on Twitter. This happens on YouTube. This happens on Facebook. This happens on TikTok. If you're saying something controversial, you're going to get a hell of a lot more response than if you're saying something mundane. If you're saying something that everyone agrees with you. I was just talking about this earlier in the show when I talked about, listener feedback and how you interact with the content creators and everything else. More often than not, the people that you disagree with, you engage with them more. Right? You have a visceral reaction with the people that you disagree with, as opposed to the people that you agree with. Like, oh yeah, I agree with that. And then you just kind of sit back and you chill. But for those of you who like, if you disagree with the content that is being produced, you will engage with that as much. And it's part of the reason why I was talking about like Lil Nas X. We were talking about Lil Nas X last week, and the vast majority of the people who were sharing the photo of Lil Nas X as a pregnant man were people who were not fans of Lil Nas X. The vast majority of the people that I saw sharing that had no fucking love at all for that young man, right? No love at all. They were sharing that to denigrate that young man. Hate watching is still watching is what I said, because you're still watching that dude. You're still helping promote his project and everything else, because that's ultimately what that was about, to promote his new album drop. So when it comes to the perception of nurses and how they are perceived as far as being anti-vaxxers because of how we engage with the content on social media when we see a nurse who's saying that the vaccine isn't something that you need or someone who's purporting themselves to be a nurse. We don't even know if they are nurses for real. But all they have to do is look the part. And if they look the part, they get that shit gets shared a hell of a lot more than the nurse who's already telling you to go ahead and get the vaccine, or the doctor who's already telling you to go get the vaccine. The one who says opposite is the one who's going to get the engagement, because the one who's disagreeing with her is the vast majority of us, right? And then you got that vocal minority who is lifting that person up. And the algorithm spins it all the way around, baby. So, like, that's the thing, man. Like, once you start recognizing and realizing how social media is actually working and how it's engineered, you understand that a lot of shit is done purposefully. It's designed for it to work that way. It's designed to keep you on the fucking site. So if you are engaged, you will stay on said site so they can sell you more shit. This is why you get the ads for the shit that you was thinking about 10 minutes ago. Like, man, I'm looking for some Adidas top 10s. I guarantee you in about 15 minutes, it's going to be some Adidas top 10s in my goddamn Facebook feed, bruh. It's going to be there. Because that's what they need us to be there so that they can sell us shit. This is the model. This is why the shit is free. This is why you get to use these services for free, because they selling you shit the whole time you there. You cannot use these services without them trying to sell you something. Hell, some of these products now, man, they, even if you buy them, they trying to sell you something still while you even in the game. NBA 2K. I'm talking about y'all. But yo, man, that's been the news. But y'all know what time it is.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right. You know what? There was something that I kind of missed. There was something that I kind of missed. Are in the news, but I guess we could talk about this now, because I feel like this may be something that we could talk about in Blue Blazes, right? So I did see there was a Facebook post that I saw being shared quite often on the book. As a matter of fact, it was a tweet that was being shared on Facebook, and I'm gonna pull this tweet up here so you guys can see it here. Let me do this. I want to say, is this one? Is it this screen here? Yeah, this is it. And this is a tweet by a young lady. I think her name is Charmaine. And she says, Biden is definitely who y'all thought Trump was. This was in response, I believe. I'm not sure. So don't get me to lying. But I believe this was in response to Biden's OSHA vaccine requirements and things like that. Biden was definitely who y'all thought Trump was. And again, this is what I'm talking about when we start talking about engagement on social media. I saw this being shared quite a bit. I saw different variations of this because, you know, people pick up, you know, certain people will reword shit and act as if it was their own thing that they came up with. But I saw different variations of this being shared on Facebook. And I saw this on Twitter. As a matter of fact, on Twitter, this shit got quote tweeted 688 times. It was retweeted 3,072 times, 12,600 likes and shit. On Facebook, I believe, let me see how many times did this shit get shared on? 52,000 times did this shit get shared on Facebook. So the shit went viral, right? Here's the thing. I'm going to need y'all to stop telling me y'all don't pay attention to politics without really telling me y'all don't pay attention to politics. Because if you're comparing the last 4 years that we had with the last, 8 months that we've had of Joe Biden, then and you think that Joe Biden is worse than what we came out of, I'm going to need you to have your motherfucking head examined. I'm going to need you to just, you know what? I kind of feel like y'all the kind of niggas that we just need to stay away from. Just
niggas coming.
No, not exactly.
Who are these niggas? We need to stay away from these niggas.
We need to stay away from you niggas, man. Like, for real. Because, and the reason why I say that, man, is because, like, did y'all forget that Donald Trump actually used tear gas to clear out peaceful protesters so he could stand in front of a church and hold up a Bible for a photo op? Did y'all forget that? Did y'all forget that Donald Trump actually wanted to use the National Guard to gun down peaceful protesters because of the racial reckoning that was happening during the aftermath of what happened to George Floyd? Did y'all forget that? Did y'all forget that Donald Trump actually was complaining about doing things for black people because black people by and large didn't like his ass. Like he was complaining about not getting a bigger part of the black vote because after he had did shit, like I think he called himself doing criminal justice reform, and he did this thing where like he kept promoting Alice Johnson, who was that one lady he let out for he had pardoned her prison sentence, and he kept trotting her out. I think they had her at the Republican National Convention and things like that. They kept using that lady as a prop. I hate that she allowed for them to use her in that way, but you know, I get why she did it. He kept that minstrel show of Diamond and Silk around him quite often. That and the thing about all of the things that Donald Trump did, there's so many. The fact that y'all are so upset at the fact that like Biden wants y'all to take a shot to prevent you from going to the hospital possibly, and y'all comparing that to Trump. Yeah, I just need y'all to just...
Who are these niggas? We need to stay away from these niggas.
Yeah, man. So I just thought about that, man. I would have had that in the news, and I just kind of forgot about it. But yeah, man, that was in the news. And now we can get to Blue Blazers, man, real talk. And our first story here in Blue Blazers has to do with one Jocelyn Hernandez. And, you know, I know nobody's really been talking about Jocelyn quite often, you know, as of late. Last time I remember hearing Jocelyn's like name on a regular rotation was when she was on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I think she has a new show called Jocelyn's like Cabaret or something like that. I don't even know what network that shit comes on. But apparently, you know, she's in the news right now. And the reason why she's in the news or in like the gossip blogs or whatever else is because Jocelyn got upset when actress and comedian Lunell put out a heartfelt message about drug use after the death of Michael K. Williams. Yeah, man, she had the audacity to come out to Lunell because Lunell was trying to keep people trying to tell us the same thing that Ronald Reagan's wife was trying to tell us, man. Nancy Reagan, I'm sorry. Just say no. You know what I'm saying? Stay off the drugs. Say yes to life. You know, that's sort of messaging that we used to get in the 80s, bro. But, yeah, Jocelyn's pissed off, man. Jocelyn is not having it. She's not with the shit. And let me see. let me see if I can pull this up. Let me go back here. All right. And... Uh-oh. All right, so let's see what the hell Jocelyn talking about. We get this here out of Yahoo News. And, yeah, it says the comedian's Instagram post discouraging drug use somehow started a feud with the reality TV star. Comedian Lunell shared a post about discouraging drug use on Instagram yesterday, a screed that somehow started a feud with a former Love & Hip Hop Atlanta star Jocelyn Hernandez. Have a drink. Smoke a self-roll or dispensary-roll joint. Leave the fucking scissor, Molly, and cocaine alone, Lunell wrote. You might be next, and y'all were trying to do this, and all you were trying to do was party. This shit is no joke at all. The dope dealers are killing people. But hey, you don't have to listen to me, she added, with the broken heart emoji and three caskets. Now, listen. Everybody got their vice. Your man Span over here sipping right now as I do this show. Everybody got their vices and stuff. She didn't tell people to just like, flat out abstain. She like, man, if you're gonna smoke a joint, roll a joint that your ass rolled up yourself. If you're gonna smoke a joint, roll a joint that somebody like in a dispensary roll, because you would assume those would be the safe joints. You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna do some shit, be sure you're doing some shit safely, right? All this scissor up and stuff, we've too many young people are out here abusing said drugs. You know, it's weird, like, you know, the drug culture has kind of become a thing that's, I don't want to say it's newly celebrated because drugs have kind of always been a part of, you know, pop culture and things like that. But I don't know if it has been as promoted so much. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't even want to go down that motherfucking rabbit hole. But, you know, it's just weird how, you know, the drug use and being a drug user has become so cool lately. I don't know, you know. But Jocelyn was upset. She said, the gossip site, The Neighborhood Talk, shared Lunell's post, reporting that she shared the message following the news of acclaimed actor Michael K. Williams' death. The post asked Instagram users if they agreed with the message. Hernandez did not. Tell this fat hoe to stop eating. That's all. That also can kill you. I'm gonna try. Should I do it? Should I try to do a Jocelyn voice or no? Nah, I ain't gonna do it. That's gonna be terrible. That's going to be terrible. Tell this fat hoe to stop eating. That also can kill you, wrote Hernandez. She a burger away from a heart attack, and you talk about somebody just died for whatever reason that she's not even sure about. Fucking pig, put the plate down. Pig, pig, pig. Now, I'm going to just say this right now, man. You know, you got to be a high motherfucker to be mad at somebody with an anti-drug message. You got to be high. She had to be high when she said that shit, man. How you going to be that mad? Like, is this a crack? Is this like you throw a rocket to a pack of crackheads and the one that smokes is going to holler? Is that what this is? Because that's what, like, come on, man. She said, Lunell then shared Hernandez's message along with some responses from several of her family members and supporters, including Luda Duval, who wrote on Twitter, if you get offended from someone telling you to stop doing drugs, that's a sign you should probably stop doing drugs. True. Facts. Fucking broken clock right twice a day, man. Luda Duval, dig that. Dig that. In a follow-up post, Lunell wrote, after four, actually more back-to-back deaths and one person critically ill in the hospital with a short time, I felt compelled to plead with my people to subside in recreational deadly drug use of Molly, Scissorp, and cocaine. She added, while someone got obviously triggered and they are mad, referring to Hernandez. Rapper T.I. jumped into the fray, posting a picture of himself and Lunell. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. But, yo, man, like, think about that for a second. Like, somebody being upset with you for being like, you know, hey, man, let's leave the drugs alone. Like, bitch, leave the drugs alone. Who the fuck is you, bitch? Like, stop eating the hamburgers and shit, man. Like, like, I get it. Everything in moderation, baby. Like, yeah, a hamburger could kill you and all this. But, yo, man, it's, come on, man. For real. Come on. Jocelyn Hernandez, man. Somebody go get Stevie for that lady. Go get Stevie so she can leave us the fuck alone. Yo, real talk. And Smoke God is in the Smoke God is in the chat. He's like, what's up, bro? Firecon. Appreciate you there, brother. Appreciate you. Real talk, man. Yo, man, another story that we got here in Blue Blazes has to do with who is this here? Oh shit, this isn't in Blue Blazes. I'm sorry. But I'm sorry, but no. TikToker. We were talking about TikTok today. So apparently Kylie Jenner is pregnant again.
And I'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
And somebody on TikTok predicted it. What? Yeah, and so now Yahoo News is doing a profile on the young TikTok lady who predicted that Kylie Jenner was pregnant.
Got it! Got it!
And thus getting these 15 minutes. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Yahoo News. It says, meet the TikToker who correctly guessed Kylie Jenner was pregnant with her second child. In July, a TikToker named Tiffany O'Neill posted a video predicting that Kylie Jenner was pregnant. The next month, she posted another video, this one more in-depth, in which she argued fans could detect Jenner's pregnancy by keeping an eye on her manicures in various social media posts. That video went so viral that it paved the way for hundreds of more people to start digging through Kylie's social media. O'Neill, of course, was proven right this week when Jenner announced she is pregnant with her second child. People praised O'Neill for her eagle-eyed investigation, making TikTok wonder about her and urging her to join the FBI. O'Neill, who lives in Los Angeles, told BuzzFeed News, she has been shocked by the attention her videos have received. I really couldn't believe it was spreading so fast and reaching that many people. O'Neill first had a feeling Kylie may be pregnant once she and Travis Scott started making public appearances and social media posts together. She made her first video so she could prove to her friends that she caught it if her theory turned out to be right. I made the video so I could jokingly be like, I told you so to friends with a timestamp and not expecting anyone to see it, O'Neill said. I had less than 50 followers at that time. The news of Kylie's pregnancy is exciting, she said, and she was pleased that a lot of people came back to her to tell her she was right. While many knew O'Neill was behind the start of the theory, some were crediting other TikTokers. However, O'Neill said she is taking credit. I've seen a few people trying to take credit, but I know I was the first person to call out the nails that started all the other inconsistencies in her Instagram presence. I'm going to just tell you this right now, man. Shout out to you, you know, for wanting credit for, like, you know, telling the world that you were stalking her Instagram enough to know that, like, her manicures wasn't matching up with her post or whatever the fuck. And somehow you turned her manicures into a thing about her being pregnant and your ability to predict it. Low-key, I just kind of feel like this is a little bit unhealthy. You know, like, I kind of feel like, you know, the investment that we have in celebrities so much to where we are like investigating their manicures to the point where like, wait a minute, she's with this dude and her manicures and dead bitch pregnant, she knocked up, you heard it here first, you know, like it's a weird sort of like consumption of these folks. And I get that, like, in large part, especially like someone like a Kylie Jenner, whose whole, you know, thing has been based around, you know, a television show that was following her family around since she was like a kid. Like I want to say she was like 9 or 10 years old when she first came into the public, you know, the public square, so to speak, with that Keeping Up with the Kardashians show. And she's kind of grown up and grown into a mogul into her own. But like the level of fucking investment that people have into these celebrities, man, like I don't get it. Like it's borderline obsessive, if not obsessive, you know. And I don't want to, like, what do we call that? What's the word that I'm looking for here? It's diagnose these folks, because I'm not qualified to do so, right? But at the same time, you're like, man, like, so you be following that hard, huh? Right? You be following that hard. Like, and they like, and then it became a whole thing on social media. We're like, so now we gotta investigate whether or not Kylie pregnant. At the end of the day, what do you get out of this beyond, you know, the recognition that, okay, so you predicted it, dude? What do you get out of that? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out, or like what the motivation could be for, you know, for being this invested in someone who doesn't know you like that, right? Like, that's the thing that I can't quite, you know, make the connection with, is like being that invested in these celebrities. So in to such a degree that you're looking at the finer parts of their manicures. Like, that's creepy, bro. Like, any other time, I think we would be calling these people creeps. We wouldn't be doing fucking, you know, glowing ass exposés or glowing ass articles and, hey, meet the person who predicted that. Like, no, in any other context, man, we would be calling these motherfuckers a creep. I mean, think about, like, what happened with, what was that? Like, Selena. You know what I'm saying? Like, she had a fan, a super fan, and her fan was so dedicated to her, like to the point where she was deadly dedicated to her, right? Like, that this kind of gives me vibes like that. Now, I'm not saying that this young lady is going to do that. I'm just saying, like, the mentality that goes into being a fan like that to this degree and being that invested. I find this shit weird, bro. I don't know, man. Something's up with that. I don't get it, man. I don't get, like, it's like, just.
God damn!
You really predicted that from her goddamn manicures, man. Okay, man. That's in Blue Blazes. Another story that we got here in Blue Blazes. As a matter of fact, we about to do something that we haven't done in quite some time, because we about to take a trip down to the...
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special HOTEP unit. These are their stories.
Yeah, man. So... it's been a while since we've been into the special HOTEP unit, y'all. And the reason why we're in the special HOTEP unit has to do with the fact that the captain of the special HOTEP unit has gotten married. Captain Umar Johnson has gotten married not once, goddammit, not once, but twice. Not once, but twice in the same goddamn night.
Got him! Got him!
And y'all know what else? The nigga got married at that school.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to your chef?
There is powerful niggardry at work here.
Yeah, man. So we get this story here. This actually comes from Twitter. There's video of this. There's video of the ceremony on these. Wait a second. Let me go ahead and pause that. I want to show y'all this here in the chat. Hold on a second. Let me pull this up so y'all can watch right along with your man. All right. Here we go. Shit in my eyes. All right. Check it out, y'all. That Hotep Griff is strong, man. Oh my God, that Hotep Griff is strong, man. Like, he was out there, like, I wonder if, hey, low-key, I'm sorry, but, like, I low-key one of these, like, people that was, like, trying to just, they were just trying to put their kids in school. Like, yo, one of these just mamas that was trying to put their kids in the school and shit, and he macked them down at the in the park across the street. Like, what if this whole thing is an elaborate thing to just get their kids in the school, man? They don't really love this nigga. They just want to get their kids a good Pan-Africanist education. And the best way to do that is to get close to the man and not have to pay no fees. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's how they got it. You know, maybe that's the thing, man. We can only speculate. You know what I'm saying? We can only speculate. But you know what? Real talk. I mean, you know, congratulations, you know, Umar. You know, and, you know, the two unidentified ladies that are now Mrs. and Mrs. Umar Johnson. How does that work? Like, does the state of Pennsylvania or the state of Delaware or whatever the hell this school is that being recognized? Like, his, you know, I mean, because he finally can say, like, he's a doctor and shit. Like, I think he finally got, like, the documentation for that, where we have to, like, really respect the fact that he's Dr. Umar Johnson and shit. But what about these wives? Right? Is one of them Mrs. Umar Johnson and the other one just, like, you know, Cheryl? You know what I'm saying? Like, how does this work? How does this work, man? So, yeah, man. We haven't done special Hotep, man. The Hoteps have been quiet, man. I ain't really had a whole lot of Hotep shit. I mean, outside of, what's that dude name? Tariq Nasheed coming out with that buck-breaking documentary and shit and talking about the effeminization of the black man or whatever. That's another thing, too. That's probably why y'all niggas was going so hard at, like, Nas X and stuff. Y'all probably had just got finished watching that buck-breaking movie and y'all really bought into that bullshit about the effeminization of the black man because one dude decided he was gonna put on a dress, or one dude decided he was gonna take a picture and appear to be pregnant. Like, suddenly that it means that the rest of us are being effeminized. I don't know how in the fuck the transitive properties of that shit works, but damn it, it ain't got shit to do with me. And it's weird how y'all extrapolate that sort of shit from one thing to another. But yo, man, that's in blue places. Oh shit, Umar out here with two eyes, man. Jackie in the chat room, he says, yo, he gotta stay, so he still got somewhere to stay. Yo, that's right, because I remember folks was talking about, yo, man, Umar might be homeless, bro. We are out here doing these videos outside. He ain't got nowhere to be. Like, that nigga done towed his car and shit. He can't even do the videos in the car. Like, low-key, I kind of hate the videos in the car and stuff, like when people do the videos in the car. But like, yo, he wasn't even doing them in the car. He was just doing them outside in the wind and shit. Like, people thought Umar might be homeless and whatnot. Now maybe he got him a crib. You're right. Maybe he got him a crib. But yo, that's been the special Hotep unit, y'all.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special Hotep unit. These are their stories.
Okay, now we got one story left here in Blue Blazes, though. And this has to do with one candidate for governor in the state of California, and that's one Larry Elder. Now, the reason why Larry Elder is in Blue Blazes is because right now, man, this dude, I'm sorry, I don't even have it in Blue Blazes. Where did I have to save this story? Let's see, did I put that there? Huh. I don't even have it. You know what? Well, fuck him. We get out of Blue Blazes. And
what in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
I thought
here.
I had that.
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
Crazy. All right. Now, our first story here in our new segment. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. That's enough of that shit. Our first story here, proud to be an American, has to do with the fact that the minimum wage is not what the fuck the minimum wage really, 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 really should be. As a matter of fact, there was a study that was done that said that the minimum wage, had it kept up with not only the rate of inflation, but with the rate of productivity of the American worker, that the actual minimum wage should be, wait for it, $26 an hour today.
What?
They should be paying motherfuckers $26 an hour to work right now.
What?
Even at McDonald's, they should probably be getting paid $26.
What?
Nigga, you hurt me. Okay, so we get the story here. This comes out of CBSNews.com. It says the federal minimum wage in the U.S. has remained glued at $7.25 an hour for the last 12 years, the longest stretch without a boost since it was first adopted in 1938. Yet there's another revealing figure that underscores how the minimum wage created by Congress after the Great Depression as a way to ensure that Americans were fairly paid for their labor has failed to keep up with the times. Even as workers have been more industrious, helping drive corporate profits, the stock market, and CEO compensation to record heights, their pay has flatlined or even declined when factoring in inflation. If the minimum wage had kept pace with gains in the economy's productivity over the last 50 years, it would be nearly $26 an hour today, or more than $50,000 a year in annual income, one economist notes. So, yeah, this is something that we've talked about quite often here on the show. Oftentimes, man, you'll have people who talk about, especially like fast food workers, people that they would consider unskilled workers only making a certain amount of money. And they would always tell these people, man, you need to go ahead and get yourself a better job, find yourself a better job, man, get yourself some skills. And then you can get, and the problem with that line of thinking is, the reasoning for the creation of the minimum wage to begin with. And if you understood what the creation of the minimum wage was for initially, it was so that everyone would have a minimum standard of living in regards to their work. So if you work this job, yeah, they were expected to pay you according to the minimum standard of living during the time. We've gotten away from that. And not only have we gotten away from that, we look at poor people as if they're being poor is somehow a character flaw and not a flaw in the economic system, right? And also, what tends to happen is that you'll have people who are working some of these skilled jobs, who are working some of these jobs where they went to school, who aren't making $26 an hour. So they're feeling like, okay, or better yet, they're making $26 an hour and they feel as though, well, okay, I went to school and this is what made going to school and getting these skills has afforded for me to be able to demand. You didn't go to school. You didn't do these things, so you shouldn't be able to get the same amount of money that I'm getting. And I hear that to some degree, but at the same time, it's a bit elitist. And also, you should probably be getting paid more. So oftentimes, the ire is being aimed at the people who don't necessarily deserve it. It should be aimed at the people who are keeping the both of y'all in a subservient position, right? And this is the trick that a lot of the corporate elites have kind of like played on the middle class and the lower classes, in that they keep us both at each other's necks. Meanwhile, the profits keep going to their coffers and into their pockets. Like, you listen to some of the insane amounts of money that someone like a Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or, Warren Buffett, like the insane amounts of money that these people are able to have, and considering the amount of resources and the amount of not only just the resources, but the amount of productivity of the American worker and how much of that productivity isn't being necessarily trickling down, as the Republicans would like to say with their trickle down economics, isn't necessarily trickling down to the workers, the people who actually make the shit happen. And so and then here's the other part about that. Right. So you start seeing this sort of shit on social media, too. This is how insidious it is. You start getting people on social media who will prey on those people who you'll start getting people like this. Now, there is no dignity in you being a worker. Everybody has to be a boss, right? You got to be a boss. You got to have your own job. You got to have your own little LLC. You know what I'm saying? You got to have your own little corporation, man. You got to figure out a way to like kind of get your leg up, and finagle this into a way where you become your own boss and you ain't answering to nobody, this, that, and the other. And here's the thing. It's not meant for everybody. Everybody's not meant to be a boss. Everybody's not designed to be a boss. Never. Everybody doesn't have the temperament to be a boss. It's just not meant for everybody. The other thing is that it kind of strips the dignity away from people who, or better yet, not even so much strips the dignity away, but it kind of looks down upon the people who just go to work every day and expect a decent paycheck and expect a decent pension and expect decent benefits for the work that they put in for said company. And it's weird because a lot of the people who we talk about now who are, you know, promoting LLCs, and I get it, like there's a place for it, right? But a lot of these are coming from folks, and as if like they forgot that their dads worked at a plant, or their dads were probably a garbage man, or their dads were probably a utility worker, or their dads were probably, or and their moms as well. I'm sorry, but like their parents were people who were also employees, and they were not employers, right? And so now you have stepped into a realm or a space where the opportunities that were given to you by your parents through the hard work that they did as an employee to maybe send your ass to college and pay for that shit, now you somehow feel as though the people who are still doing that sort of work, you're beyond that now. So like, nah, you don't want to do that. And you don't want, like, you want, and there's nothing wrong with wanting more. It's just the way in which you convey said message. And oftentimes, the way in which like business and promoting business is looked at, is presented to people who are just working, who just want to work, man. Like most of the people that I know that own businesses work all the time, right? They, because they're working for themselves. So they don't really have the off time that an employee would get. They don't really have, they got to figure out where they're going to get the benefits from, you know, and figure out where their health care is going to come from. They got to figure out how they're going to pay themselves. They got to figure out how they're going to pay employees. They got to figure out how to make this business scalable. They got to figure out how to make this business financially viable to where they're not, you know, in the red every fucking year. Like, oftentimes, these are the things that the business owners that I know have to deal with, right? Most of the people that I know are just like, yo, man, I just want to be able to go to work and come home, make a decent paycheck, have some decent benefits, have some money left over in the bank when I get finished paying my bills and shit, and I'm good, and I'm happy, and I'm blessed with that. And oftentimes we are like talking to these people as if they are wanting, as if their wants and their needs are penny-ante and not enough. It's enough for them, and that should be all right. That should be the end of that discussion, right? So, you know, getting back to what the minimum wage is that the minimum wage should have been risen. Like they said, it should be $26 an hour. It's just the fact that, like, yo, we've got people now who are making, said, like, say, for instance, $26 an hour, who would frown at the idea that that should be the minimum wage, because now it's about devaluing them, right? Now that means I'm bottom of the barrel. That means I'm bottom of the barrel, and that means that you are now, I'm in a different place in class wise, because that's essentially what this is. Essentially, you got a lot of people who are now making $20 an hour, and so, and they feel as though they're better than the folks who are making maybe $10 to $15 an hour, and it's a class thing with them. So the idea that the minimum wage should be $26 an hour, and the numbers are bearing that out, is a problem for them, because it hits them in the, not only in their pocket, but also in their ego. Like, so you mean to tell me that I would be like a minimum wage worker? No, that means that you would probably be making more money if the minimum wage had kept up with the rate of inflation and the rate of productivity. But yo, it just goes over people's heads, man. Like, and people get into their feelings, and people just don't necessarily just like kind of sit back and think about it. Like, yo, man, you should probably be asking for more money at your job, or your union should probably be negotiating for more money at your job or more benefits at your job, considering the amounts of money that these companies are generating on behalf of your work. All right. So, yo, man, that's in Proud to Be an American. Another story that we got here in Proud to Be an American has to do with so, yo, we've been seeing stories all over the place of like unruly, like airline passengers and shit. But this dude here, man, this is a special motherfucker right here. This dude got the growling and shit at the airline workers and whatnot. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can pull this video up and show this here to you guys. Let me do this here real quick. All right. This is on ABC. We get this from ABC News. Let's see what they're talking about.
Vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
Wait, this is it.
President Biden once again making his pitch to the unvaccinated. Yeah. This time,
wait a second. We already talked about this. What about the dude though? I hate when they do this, though. I really do. I hate when they do this. They'll have a video, and it'll have like a still of the guy that you were supposed to be talking about, but then the guy ain't in the goddamn video. Fuck you, ABC News. Don't do that again. But well, let me read this article, and it says this. It says, there's a mid-flight crisis on one American Airlines flight over the Labor Day holiday after a passenger allegedly began growling and berating the flight attendants on board. What? Are you going to kick me off this flight? The 61-year-old man taunted the flight crew. Video of the alleged incident shows. At one point, a flight attendant had to block him from gaining access to the galley. Wait, there's video, man, and y'all won't show me? This is bullshit. Says the flight attendant could be heard shouting in the video, "Sit down now." Once the plane landed in Salt Lake City, authorities boarded the aircraft and took the passengers, who they said was intoxicated, into custody. Really? The man says he's taken off of the plane, according to a video of the incident. His behavior was so bizarre, Dennis Bush, a fellow passenger, told ABC News. Not particularly threatened towards us or other passengers, but it was very surreal. The man was later cited for disorderly conduct and public intoxication. Monday incident is just the latest in a surge of aggressive behavior on planes. The Federal Aviation Administration said it has received nearly 4,200 reports of unruly passengers since the start of the year. More than 3,000 of them are people who refuse to wear a mask. Right. They know the rules before they got to the airport, and they still refuse to follow them, because it's all about them, man. It says the subsequent fines for unruly behavior during flights have soared in 2021, with the FAA reporting last month that it had proposed more than $1 million in penalties this year alone, man. So, yeah, you know, Walking Dead Sunday. Listen, man, I saw a video of this earlier, and I don't really have time to, like, just kind of go looking for it right now. But, like, this dude was, like, just kind of snarling, and he was doing some shit with his mask where he was, like, biting a mask and rubbing it on his face and all sorts of shit. Like, and you know, we know it was one of them. But it's just the sort of crazy-ass behavior that's going on, man. It's like folks are actively out here. People are losing it. People are losing on both sides. I mean, people who are, like, you know, who are just trying to follow the rules and just, like, get along about their day, they're losing patience with a lot of these other people. But these other people are just losing their fucking minds. They're not losing patience. They're losing their sanity, yo. So that's in Proud to Be an American. Another story that we got here in Proud to Be an American has to do with the fact that America is now considered the ghetto of the world.
God damn!
And the reason why America is considered the ghetto of the world is because the European Union has decided, they have decided to take the U.S. off of their safe travel list, and Americans who are not vaccinated can't come to the goddamn EU, man.
Yes, that sounds like an excellent idea.
Yeah, so we get this story here. This comes out of the Associated Press. It says the European Union has recommended that its 27 nations reinstate restrictions on tours from the U.S. because of rising coronavirus infections there. The decision by the European Council to remove the U.S. from a safe list of countries for non-essential travel reverses its advice in June, when the bloc recommended lifting restrictions on U.S. travelers before summer tourism season. The guidance is non-binding, though, and U.S. travelers should expect a mismatch of travel rules across the continent, which means that these countries are just going to come up with their own fucking rules. Like, and I've already seen bulletins. A friend of mine, Lakeisha, put up a couple bulletins of different states. Different nations in the European, in Europe, that were banning unvaccinated people from coming to their country. And the thing is, I don't understand why people are acting as if this is so fucking, like, brand new. Like, you can't go to you can't go to Africa without taking a series of vaccinations. You couldn't go to school without having certain vaccinations back. So I don't understand why people are acting as if, like, even the whole thing about the vaccine being new. Like, think about this for a second. And I saw this. So I wasn't around for this shit, but I this is why listening to your elders can help sometimes, right? Polio was a very debilitating disease. It was used to put people in, like, you know, wheelchairs and shit. It led to all sorts of deformities and whatnot. And they finally came up with a vaccine for polio to keep people from getting polio. And the polio vaccine was very new when it came out. And they mandated it here in America very soon. I want to say not even 6 months after the polio vaccine was made available, the United States mandated that it be made available and mandated that people get the polio vaccine. And we've pretty much eradicated polio. Now, interestingly enough, I'm not sure how big the anti-vax movement was in the 1940s, I believe, when the polio vaccine was made available. However, it was made mandatory then. It got rid of the disease then and now, because we don't necessarily, when was the last time you seen anybody suffering from polio? Like anybody, when was the last time any of y'all saw anybody suffering from the effects of polio? It's like, it just doesn't happen. When was the last time y'all saw kids walking around with the chicken pox? Because that's the thing that we have now too. There's a vaccine for the chicken pox. I wish that shit was available when I was a kid, but it wasn't. These are vaccines that have been made available largely in schools. They're made mandatory. These vaccines have been made mandatory. So the fact that like people are talking about, yo, man, this brand new, man, we don't really know the long-term effects. Like, when was the last time you saw the long-term effects of polio? Oh, I don't know, not having polio. What's the long-term effects of not having COVID, of getting the COVID vaccine? I don't know, not getting COVID. Those are the long-term effects that I motherfucking want. Those are the long-term effects all of us should really fucking want, right? So, it's just weird, man. Like, people are acting like all of this shit is brand new. And right now, America is seen as the ghetto. Like, we ghetto over here because we don't have our people in line, man. People just out here acting out all willy-nilly and shit. And the rest of the world, like, man, fuck them people, man. They crazy as shit over there. Don't let them motherfuckers over here. Which is also rich, right? Because Americans are so fucking self-absorbed that we feel like anywhere we go in the world, we are being fucking admired and shit for being Americans. Most of the people that are like in the vast majority of the world are looking at us like some entitled, spoiled brats, right? Some entitled, spoiled brats who don't know how good we got it in comparison. And they see us shunning the vaccines and we're washing them like we're shunning them. And like, they just like, man, look at these spoiled motherfuckers over here, man. I should knock this motherfucker's head off. Like, for real. And many times, man, we've seen those movies, man, where like there's this caricature in movies where you've got this like this pompous, you know, rich prep school, you know, person who's got the fucking, he's got the polo shirt and the golf shorts, and he's got the sweater wrapped around his neck and shit. And like, people look at him like, man, look at this asshole, bro. Like, that's how we look to the world, bro. Like, that's how we look to the rest of the world. We look like that pompous dude with the shorts and the polo and the sweater wrapped around his neck ever so slightly. You know, we look like that guy to the rest of the world. And we got some comments here in the chat. Let's see. Gloria Miller's in the chat room. She says, Jonas Salk, inventor of the IPV, testified before a Senate subcommittee that nearly all polio outbreaks since 1961 were caused by the oral polio vaccine. A recent John Hopkins study claims that more than 250,000 people in the U.S. die every year from medical errors. Other reports claim the numbers to be as high as 440,000. Formaldehyde is safe and effective, yet 10,000 children in 46 countries were born with deformities such as fomalhaut, no arms and no legs as a consequence of formaldehyde use. Okay, so apparently Gloria isn't a big fan of the whole vaccine thing, right? I'll just say this. I'm not even prepared to, like, I'll say this. As far as this information is, I don't know how true this information is because this is the first time I've ever seen it. So I can't vet it right now at all. But the mere fact that we could just go, like, you talking about IPV, nearly all polio outbreaks since 1961. Polio outbreaks since 1961. When how many polio outbreaks have we had since 1961? Like, seriously, outbreaks of polio since 1961. Come on, man. Like, come on. Let's be for real out here, y'all. Let's be for real. Let's not dive into this misinformation and all this bullshit. I don't have time for it. Really don't. Most of the people in this chat, I bet you right now, Gloria, how many people with polio do you know? Do you know anybody with polio? Gloria, since 1961, you know anybody that has polio? No? Okay then. All this point and click, this copy and paste shit you're doing in my chat room, man. But yeah, it's just we the ghetto. We the ghetto. For real. America is the ghetto. And yo, that's why I got one more story. I gotta find this story, cause like I couldn't believe this nigga when he said this shit. Here's another story. Florida appeals court rules in favor of Governor DeSantis and reverses an order to allow mask mandate bans in schools. Yeah, so there had been a story. The mask mandate had been barred by an appellate court ruling in Florida prior to this decision. And apparently the Florida governor has appealed it, and now the next court has allowed for the ban to be put in place. So we get the story from CNN. It says Florida's first district court on Friday reinstated a stay on mask mandates in schools, blocking face mask requirements in school for now, court documents show. Lawyers for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis filed the emergency appeal after a judge ruled on Wednesday that the state of Florida must stop their enforcement of a mask ban. So, yeah, essentially, like I said, Ron DeSantis is out here operating like,
fuck them kids.
Fuck the kids?
Yeah.
And here's why this doesn't really make sense. When we first, you know, became aware of the coronavirus and it being a global pandemic and it becoming available of, when the coronavirus pandemic first came here to American shores and everything, we first became aware of it. One of the first things we did was we took these kids out of the schools. We quarantined everybody. We told everybody we had stay at home, you know, orders all across the country and shit. A lot of folks stayed home, a lot of jobs, like sent people home. Some of us went home paid. Some of us went home with, you know, like without a job at all. You know, we were told to wear masks and we were going to be outside amongst people. We were told to social distance and things like that. And while we were doing all of those precautions, you know, we had a whole bunch of people out there that was washing their hands. All the hand sanitizers was going, all the toilet paper and everything, all the paper towels, all that shit was being bought the hell up, right? All of these things were happening. And it was like we had this, you know, there was almost a communal sort of thing, like everybody's trying to, you know, do their part. You know, we're all trying to do our part to stay safe. And, you know, we're going to slow the spread. We're going to flatten the curve, you know, that whole thing. And then eventually the numbers went down, right? The numbers went down because we social distanced, we wore our mask. And we, you know, we stayed away from each other primarily. We did the whole social distancing and wearing the mask thing. Even when we had to go out and be amongst people, pretty much everybody had their mask on. And if you saw somebody that didn't have a mask on, you was looking at them like they was a goddamn fool, right? Ironically, the further along we gotten along with this, you know, those people are becoming more and more belligerent and loud and shit. But the numbers went down because of the mask, because of the social distancing. And now we have, like I said earlier in the show, we got a more contagious version of this disease, and we're sending our kids out into that. And the fact that you have a governor who is advocating, talking about this whole thing about parental choice and shit. Hey, keep your kid at home if you don't want to have your kid wearing a mask. That's the choice that these kids and these parents should be making. If you don't want to follow by the fucking rules, stay your ass at home. Right? I don't know where you're going, but you ain't going here. Right? That's a fucking universal mantra in black households everywhere. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the fuck up out of here. You ain't going to follow my rules. Get the hell on up out of here. Right? And so it's weird that a lot of these, especially like Republicans who are, it's weird with the Republicans in the sense that like these are people who would talk about being for small government. Right. Who are for local control and shit, who are states' rights. You know what I mean? States' rights and shit when it comes down to oppressing motherfuckers. Right. Republicans are real good at that. But suddenly the small government aspect of things are the small aspect of things as far as legislation is concerned. Somehow they don't necessarily feel like that should apply anymore. Suddenly the governor should go ahead and just and decide whether or not a school board should be able to make rules for their school district. Suddenly a governor should be able to decide whether or not a local elections board should be able to apply the rules in their county or their election sector. Then and the state should move in on that because they don't necessarily like how that operation is moving. And so like it's just real weird. It's real hypocritical of them to it's really hypocritical of the Republican Party, especially those like Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott and Kristi Noem and all these other like death cult motherfuckers, to like just kind of operate under the auspices of with protecting parents' choice to choose what's best for their kids, as opposed to just like actually just letting people just do what the fuck is good for the kids, which is keeping them safe. And it's gonna be real funny, man. Not even so much funny. It's gonna be weird watching these same motherfuckers justify their actions when we start having funerals for kids that we didn't have to have. So, yeah, man, it's just been real. We're living in real fucking strange times, man. And yo, that is being proud to be an American. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. That's enough of that shit. But you know what? Normally we would have a champ of the week. But we don't have a champ of the week this week, man. There's not been a whole lot of like people doing real great things and shit this week. I mean, you know, everybody did the whole 9/11, you know, salute the heroes and stuff like that, man. And, I mean, no shade to them at all, but it's just like I don't want to do that. So this is gonna be a first. It's gonna be a first, y'all. Matter of fact, y'all know what it is.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
We got an ass hat of the week, y'all. We got an ass hat of the week. And our ass hat of the week has to be none other than Gloria Miller of YouTube. Yeah, man. Gloria Miller of YouTube is the ass hat of the week this week. Gloria Miller is in my chat room right now going the fuck off. I am a beta male according to Gloria Miller, man. And the funny thing about this, man, shout out to you, Gloria Miller, because, like, yo, you've been in here real fucking adamant about sheeple and stuff like that while spreading disinformation in my chat room, which is why I haven't really been highlighting a lot of the bullshit you in here spewing. However, that whole beta male shit, this is how I know these motherfuckers aren't necessarily bright, right? Even the whole idea of the beta male, the person who even came up with the premise of alpha and beta male, is out here telling these stupid motherfuckers like, yo, that's not what I meant by alpha and beta male. The whole premise of alpha and beta males came from the study of captured wolves. We've talked about this shit on the show. It came from captured wolves in captivity, and how they manifest and how they maneuvered a society within captivity for wolves. Right? Captured wolves. When they got out into the wild, he found out that the wolves don't operate the same in the wild as they do in captivity. So the whole basis for the alpha beta male construct is based upon captive wolves. Here we are, whole ass human beings, and we're confining ourselves to comparing a person to alpha and beta males based upon a theory that has been debunked by the very person who came up with said theory. Oh, man. Oh, man. That's crazy, man. Oh, man. I love it. I love it, man. Real talk. It's crazy. But, yo, this is what you get out of YouTube. This is part of the reason why I don't really dive into the YouTube comment section much anymore, because of little shit like that. But, yo, man, Gloria Miller, you are the ass hat of the week this week here at the Sparing Poor Podcast. We haven't had an ass hat in over a year, and you got that distinction. Congratulations. You deserve it. You get gold star to you, sweetheart. All right. But, yo, it's about time for us to get on up out of here. But of course, before we do, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Sparrow Poor Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit us up at our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages, and of course, those messages will get played here and responded to here live on the show. You can also email us here at feedback@thesparrowpoor.com. That's feedback@thesparrowpoor.com. Go ahead, leave those emails, and of course, those emails will get read here and replied to here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. _Sparrow. band. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man's band throughout the week. Also, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime. Just a couple of minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. Also, hit us up at our website at www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we decide to put those polls up. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And of course, we really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. And get yourself some merch in our store, man. Get yourself a t-shirt or a coffee mug or a hoodie, because it's getting cold outside, man. Real talk. It has been fun. I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.